Father, I just thank you today for healing school, Lord Jesus, and for everyone here today physically and those that are watching by DVD or internet, Lord. Father, I just thank you that the Bible is absolutely true and that we have the Bible to stand on as a sure foundation, Father. That we can build on what the Bible says by obeying the Word of God and by owning it as our reality. Father, I ask that you would open the hearts and the minds of the people that are hearing me teach today, Lord, that, Father, we would not dismiss this Bible, but we would own it and believe it and put it into practice. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'll tell you what. Do you believe God knows all things? Do you guys believe that God kind of sets things up the way he wants? I believe that's true also. So guess what? None of you are here by accident. And my message today is going to be a vigorous one. So I personally am finding it very interesting to see you all that are here today. And for you that are watching, the exact same thing. It's going to be a vigorous message today, because today it's going to be, overview, how to actually get results in your life for whatever it is that you want to believe God for, or you are believing God for. Because how many of you have had issues in your life that are still in your life? Right. And let me raise your hand again if you would like them to remain in your life for the rest of your life. Oh, no hands going up. Okay, so today would be a very, very good message. So now, step two. How many of you believe, and by a show of hands, that you have something to do with the results you're going to get? About a third, two-thirds of you. Okay, how many of you believe only God decides whether you're going to be healed or not? Oh, nobody. One other person. Okay. So it's a mixed bag. I'm going to show you in the Bible today what your responsibility is. Is that okay? Because you have a responsibility in whether or not you're going to receive from God. And it's up to you to decide if you're going to receive from God. Because here's the thing that I've noticed. If you have a condition in your life and that thing's been lingering and staying there, it's not going to go away from the traditional, just pray for me, brother. Just pray for me, sister. Because you've probably had that happen already, but it's still lingering. So we're going to have to be more aggressive about how to deal with this. Are you with me? Have I lost anybody? Okay. Here's what I have witnessed and continue to witness, is that people will do the old, well, I'm believing God. Well, I'm doing what I know to do. And yet I'm not getting results yet. Have any of you fallen, don't raise your hands. Have any of you fallen in that category? Just think to yourself between you and God. If you haven't been getting results, but yet you've been doing everything you know to do, then you're the perfect person to be here today. Okay? Because we have to get results now. It's time to get results. It's time to see a difference in our life. And in order to see a difference, guess what? We have to do something differently. Because if what you've done so far has not gotten you the results, we've got to do something else. Can you say amen if you believe me? That's the truth, okay? If I'm trying to stack, what are those things called? Playing cards on a table to make a pyramid. And the fan is blowing, going, and every so often it blows right across the table that I'm trying to make this beautiful pyramid out of playing cards. If I keep making that pyramid and every time that fan comes by, it blows down my pyramid, and I try to make it again, but the fan blows it down, and I try to make it again, and I cry, God, help me make this pyramid. I'm doing everything I know to do to make this pyramid. And you are. You're being delicate. You're being deliberate. You're making your hands not shake, and you're putting the cards where they need to go. And then every time that fan comes by, that thing blows that thing down. And then you say, God, you need to make these cards stand so they don't blow down. And they still blow down. And then you get all worked up and you're wondering what you're doing wrong because you're really doing everything you know to do to stack these cards the way they need to be stacked. But they still get blown down. Is there something else maybe that you could do? Huh? Or super glue the cards together, huh? Turn off the fan. You got to do something very, very different. It has nothing to do with the cards now or with you. It has to do, there's a fan blowing that needs to be turned off. Are you with me? So I want you to look outside of the box now and outside of your normal way of dealing with whatever it is you're dealing with. If you're one of those people that's expecting God to heal you and you have no responsibility in it, then you're not going to get healed. Okay? Here's when you can get healed. And I think that a lot of people hope that whoever prays for them is this person. A way that you can get healed is if somebody has one of the gifts of healings and they have the one that you need and you're hoping they have that gift so when they pray for you, their gift heals you. And it will. But I'm finding out that the people that I'm running across aren't meeting that person that has the gift they need to get their healing. Have any of you guys run across that person that healed you because they had that gift? Okay, is that the thing that's still lingering though? Or did you get healed? You got healed, right? So the things that are still lingering in your body, if they are, then we have to look at it a little bit differently. Can you believe that? Okay, we're also hoping that like me or Pastor Trey or Mitten or somebody that's teaching is more anointed than you are, so that my faith can heal you because to you, your faith isn't doing it. Is that possible? It's possible. I've been that person. I've gone to people to get healing because what I was trying to do wasn't working. Okay? It was persisting for some reason. And so I was hoping that if I get their faith to be added with my faith, then together we would see it happen. My experience has been that their faith is really no more stronger than my faith is. And so now I'm in a conundrum. How do I actually get this thing to go out of my body? How do I actually get the results that God says is true? Does anybody want to know the answer? Great. Let's get our Bibles out. Now, I'm telling you, take notes. Get a copy of this DVD, do whatever you need to do, but you've got to put what I'm going to tell you today into practice. Because here's going to be the problem. I'm going to share with you some things that are going to be somewhat difficult for some of you to accept. Is it okay if I share stuff with you that might be more difficult for you to accept? Because that's what I'm going to share with you. So I'm going to tell you something, and you're not going to like it. But I want you to listen to what I'm telling you and think about it, okay? And really let it sink in. Really let it sink in. I'm going to give an example. Well, I don't know how to give that example just yet. Let's go on a little bit longer. Let's look at a couple of verses. I'm going to look at some verses with you. Go to Matthew 21. And I'm going to look at some verses with you that you have probably read in the Bible yourself. And we're going to do 21:21 and 21:22. And as we're reading these verses, this is what I want you to ask yourself. Is this true or is this a lie? Now, honestly, you guys are going to instantly go, well, it's true, it's in the Bible. Don't do that. Really think for you personally, is this true or is this not true? I'm going to say not true instead of calling it a lie. Okay? So for you, when you read this, is this true or not true? Matthew 21:21. So Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. 22. And whatever thing you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Pastor Robert, I've done that. Doesn't work, or at least it didn't work for me. If any of you can say that, raise your invisible hand. I don't want to see your hands. Raise your invisible hands if you have tried that and it hasn't worked. That's one time it says it in the Bible. One time's good. Let's see if it says it more. Go with me to Mark 11. We're going to start in verse 22 and read. We're just going to go through 24. No, I should read through 26. Go ahead. We're going to read through 26 only because it is important, but it's not my main point. Verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. 25, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Talking about a condition of your heart now, as you're standing in faith, that whatever you ask, you receive. Go with me to John chapter 16. Let's read 23 and 24. John 16, 23 and 24. I'm just plucking these out so we can see a principle. Verse 23. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. This is Jesus talking to us to ask the Father in his name for whatever it is we want. So does he say that you will receive it? Yes. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. First John's all the way in the back next to Revelation. Well, 1 John chapter 3. I want to start in boy, this is a tough one to start right where it's at. So let's go 1 John 3. Let's just do 22. And you can read around it if you need to. And whatever we ask, we receive from him. I'm going to have to back up just so this is context. Start in verse 19. Let me just start in 16 since you just got your Bibles. This is about loving other people. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before God. If our heart condemns us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. Beloved, if your heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. One last verse, then we'll talk. James. Go to James chapter 4 with me. Let me just qualify this as you're looking there. Have we read that if you ask God for something, you get what you ask for? You receive it from God. Is that yes or no? 5 times. There's many other verses. I just picked those because it's got both the word ask and receive in it. Okay? We're talking very soberly right now. We have to squarely look at what's going on right now. James chapter 4. I'm going to pick one little section out of this because it'll be hard for you to accept the rest of it for right now. Verse 3. It says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss. Let's just stop there. Let's just pluck that out. The rest is talking about people that are greedy and they're praying for stuff to happen. I want to focus on this part. You ask amiss. So is it possible that we can ask God for stuff and yet somehow the way we're believing God for our healing, is there a possibility that there's a better way to do it than the way you're actually doing it? Is there a more effective way to ask than maybe the way you've been asking or believing for whatever result it is you're trying to get from God? This word is amiss. It means evil, wrong. Okay? It means you're doing your asking wrong. Okay? The motive is wrong. The reason for the ask, the why, is what's wrong. Are you with me? So, now the hard part comes that you're not going to like. The problem is you. It's not God. And it's not whatever it is that's resisting leaving your body. You're the problem. And I hate to say it and I don't mean to do anything, but you have to change the way you're attacking this problem if you want to get the results. So I'm going to share with you how to do that. Are you willing to do something different? So, one more verse. And that verse that I want to talk to you about, one more verse, is Luke 10, 19. We might do 18 and 19, but Luke 10. No, that's not the right one. Luke 10, 19. Yeah, that's the right one. Okay, verse 18 and 19. Ready? Verse 18, and he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Did Satan fall like lightning from heaven? What do they call Satan? The accuser of who? The brethren. So he would stand before God and accuse you and I of being guilty of stuff. Okay? When Jesus paid the price on the cross, his blood paid for every one of your wrongdoings. So it's so literal that you died on the cross when Jesus died on the cross. Your sins were paid for, they were dealt with, and now the devil has no right to accuse you because your sins have been completely paid for. Therefore, Satan was kicked out of heaven now. He can't come and accuse you before God because there's nothing to accuse you of. It's been paid for. So what he's done now is he's come down to the earth and he walks around like a roaring lion seeking who he can devour. Because he can't condemn you before God because God knows you're innocent now. But what he can do is attack your mind and your body and condemn you because you're not getting the results you should be getting in your life. Because you're not acting the way that you're supposed to be acting. You're not believing the way you're supposed to be believing. And he comes against you. And he affects your emotions, your physical body, and the thoughts that are bombarding your mind. Here's what I want you to understand. God, if he has not healed you in the way that you have expected him to heal you, you're gonna have to turn your attention onto you and ask, why has that not taken place? Let's look at the next verse. Verse 19. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Is this true or not true? So, guess what? You have the power to change this. You have the authority by God. The devil has been kicked out of heaven. He can no longer accuse you before God because you are made whole. You have been restored. You have been forgiven. You have been healed. You have been set free as far as God's concerned. But the devil is down here now trying to make you believe that you're not healed. And he will give you pains, and he will give you symptoms, and he will give you conditions, and he will bombard your mind with thoughts, and he'll rob you from your sleep, and he will make you anxious and have anxiety and attack you. He will tell you you're no good because you did this and this and this in the past, and you'll never change, and you'll never be free. He's a liar. And he is doing a very good job at robbing God's people from having divine health and prosperity and wholeness. And that's what he does. But God says this, he has given you and I authority over all of it, straight up. Now, here's the rub. Are you using the authority that is necessary to change your circumstances? Are you making it happen because you have been given the authority in the name of Jesus by the Spirit of God? The power belongs to God, but the authority has been given to you. Oh, I know you are going to love this message. God knew exactly who to bring today. Now, here's the question. Am I willing to go against my natural inclinations and the way I've always thought and the way I've always handled it and the habit I have formed on how I ask for these things from God? Are you willing to train yourself to ask differently? The word ask, I'm going to slaughter this, is like aleito or something like that. It's 154 in the Greek. It means to demand what is rightfully yours. So when you're asking God for something, it's already His decision to give it to you. You have to actually believe it. Because He says if you ask, He gives it to you. You receive it. If your heart even condemns you, God's greater than your heart. You still get it anyway. But you have to know that you have this real authority that you're going to have to exercise. So let's talk about exercising this authority. Okay. I have had things in my body that have not gone away when I asked them to. I asked God to heal me. He didn't. I spoke to them. They didn't go. I had to take antibiotics to make them leave. Because that's actually where my faith was at, because what I was doing wasn't working. Anybody else ever fall in that category? As I prayed about it, I realized I was not actually exercising authority over that thing. I was just asking it to leave. I was being way too polite about the whole thing. Way too polite. You know how I know I was being too polite? Because it didn't obey me. How many of y'all have been a mother or a father? How many of y'all have been a child? Some of you, it might be hard for me to believe you've ever been a child, but you probably were at one time. Okay, so we know that mom or dad, as a child, we know when they tell us to do something, when they mean it. We know when we can still keep pushing them or get away with them or do it for a second and then go off and get away from them and go continue to do it. We know when they will chase us down and there will be serious consequences because we didn't obey them. We know where that line is at. Does the devil or the sickness in your body or the thing that's plaguing you know where your line is at? Have you gotten to the point that you rise up big enough on the inside that it can't remain? Because you're actually making it leave? Your child, you make them obey you, or you punish them if they don't, and then they do. Are you making it go? When I spoke to it and asked God to heal me, I wasn't making it go. I wanted it to go, but I wasn't making it go. And because I was lazy and tired and didn't want to fight the battle, it was easier to just capitulate to my wife, go to the doctors, and get some antibiotics. I did so. And it seemed to linger, but finally it got healed. Other times, when I'm stirred up in the Word, and I'm praying in the Spirit, and I'm believing God, and I look differently at the world around me, I'm on guard against the devil robbing other people using sicknesses and diseases, using pains and sufferings, using mental anguish, robbing them of their sleep and their peace. When I see that, now, do I love my brother or my sister enough to make that go from them? When I'm at that place that I look at sickness and disease, problems and troubles, it's the devil attacking. It's not just something that happens to all people in God, would you please heal me? The devil is actually attacking you. Do you make that legitimate in your mind? The devil is attacking me. It can't be, oh, the devil's attacking me, God. Please help me, or pastor, would you please pray for me? And I'm not making fun of you. I'm trying to convey the amount of energy and authority behind your ask. How much real authority are you exercising in this situation, or are you a victim? He says here that whatever thing you ask that's rightfully yours to have, which is being healed and made whole because Jesus paid for it, then it's yours. And he says, the devil's been kicked out of heaven. Now I give you all authority and power over the devil and over his power. All power of the devil you have authority over. Do you operate in it? Do you raise yourself up in your awakeness that it's you that has the power in this room, because God has commanded you to use this power? It's up to you. Now, when I got sick, it was a few months back, this flu thing started coming on me. The way the devil attacks me when I'm really focused, I don't mean like I'm laser, it's all I think about is sickness and disease. No, when I'm built up and I realize who I am in Christ, I have authority over the devil and all of his dominions and his power that he exercises against people. Your body would not get sick if it wasn't under demonic influence. It just wouldn't, because in heaven, I promise you'll never be sick. So the root of it is not food, water, or exercise. Although do those things, vitamins, food, water, and exercise, do those things. But there's even more than that. There's a spiritual authority that's been given to you and to me. When I'm in the mindset and I'm militant against these things, militant, I have much greater results. I'm in my office, I'm working on something, and this flu thing that night jumped on me. And it did it while I was sleeping because it knew it wouldn't be able to get it while I was awake, because I was too actively involved in these things. And I'm sitting at my desk, and I did what some of you guys would do. Flu, leave me in Jesus' name. Symptoms, sign, leave me. Stomach, settle down. That didn't work. Guess what? I better change my tactics and do something else. God, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to heal my body from this flu. That didn't work. So then what do I do? Do you see my mind? How do I make it leave? It's got to go. So how do I get it to go? What's the next thing I did? Father, if there's any sin in me that I'm unaware of that's robbing me of my authority and condemning me, bring it to my attention that I can renounce it right now and be restored to all righteousness. So a few little things, clean those things up. Did it go? No, it did not go. It did feel a little bit better though, but it didn't go. So I thought, all right, what else? I'll pray in tongues. So I'm sitting in my office and I'm praying in tongues. I feel the Holy Spirit goes, pray seriously. Ooh, okay. So then I started praying seriously. And I started getting built up on the inside. As I was getting built up on the inside and praying seriously, he showed me that this is resisting me. Oh, okay. It's resisting me. It's like an obstinate child that's not doing what it's told to do. Oh, okay. So then I'm praying in tongues and I'm looking at how do I attack this thing? How do I get it out of my body? And I started looking like in a military circumstance, how do I beat my enemy? Not God rescue me from this problem. How do I actually beat this enemy, this opponent that's resisting me? And I looked at it entirely different as an attack against me. Now, something rose up inside of me, and I said, this is wrong, no. And my no was serious. It was more serious than any of the other things I did, even though I was doing exactly what I felt like I was being led and knew to do. But something woke up inside of me and said, no. And it left, totally left. It took me 2 hours of nonstop battling, sitting at my desk in my office before it left. Sometimes it never leaves and I give up because it just wears me out. Because my opponent just keeps coming and keeps coming and keeps coming and has worn me out and wears down my mind from believing I actually have authority over it because he's worn me out over time. You've got to get a fresh point of view and a brand new attack and realize this is going to take longer, but I've got to stay on it until I get it out. I'll give you one more story. I used to make kettle corn. You guys know what that is? It's sweet and salty popcorn, highly addictive. Nothing in it is good for you, and I will eat as much as you give me. Truthfully, it's delicious. It's highly addictive. I made this stuff thousands and thousands and tens and twenties and thirties of thousands of bags of it. And I make the best I've ever tasted. And I can make it all day long. Take a large bag home with my wife, put a video on, and eat the entire bag with my wife and wish I had more. That's how highly addictive that stuff is. It's good. Anyway, straight from the pit of hell. Delicious stuff, though. And I was making kettle corn. It was winter, and I have these big 80-quart pot that I cook it in with a paddle. And I've got to clean out all the soot on the bottom of it. It's kind of because it's a flame that cooks the fire. So I got to keep it so that I keep everything consistent to make perfect batches every time. So I had my grinder out, and I lean into my pot and get my grinder, and I clean the carbon off of the soot off of the inside of the pot. All of a sudden, something in my back goes, tug. Just tug. I felt tug. Instantly, my mind said, uh-oh. Guess what? He just got me. That's where the devil got me, right there with the tug and me saying, uh-oh, because I knew my back was going to hurt after that. I stood up and I go, oh, no. Instantly, pain filled my body, like a disc might have slipped or something when I bent over. I have to keep working because all the equipment's too heavy for my wife. So I'm struggling, trying to hold my breath and keep my body straight up and down as I'm trying to do everything because my back is killing me. Finally, I got that stuff squared away so I can pack it up, close down, and I got my wife to start looking for a chiropractor for me to put me back in alignment. Well, nobody's just open on the spot. But within a few hours, I finally found somebody. We went over there, and she started putting some paddles on my back, some kind of electrical thing, to make it all come back into alignment so she can straighten it all back out again. All right, that was fine. It didn't work. I go home. I'm laying in the bed, and here's what I say. Devil, this is an attack. You've got to stop. Let go of me. It didn't go away. I get up maybe 2 hours later, and I look in the mirror, and I look like a deformed, crazy person. I was all twisted like this, standing there, thinking I'm standing straight up and down, and I am like this in the mirror. And I'm going, holy smokes, this is bad. This is really bad. This is bad. And what has happened? He's distorting my body now through pain. I'm laying in the bed thinking, how am I going to handle this? And then my leg just started hurting like crazy. I mean, really hurting. I had to preach that night. I said, devil, you loose me now in the name of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus, I am healed and I am free. And you take these lying signs and wonders away from me now in Jesus' name. And I meant it. This was a lie. I am in perfect health, complete divine health. And you're trying to make me believe something's not right in my body by making my body do all these things and hurt like crazy. It's a lie and you're putting it on me. Stop it in Jesus' name. It subsided slightly. The leg stopped hurting, but everything else was still the same. I started straightening up just a little bit more after I did that. Okay, 2 hours later, I have to preach. I'm at the church and I'm sitting in the front pew, and I'm right on the very edge. You ever sat just right on the edge of the chair because you got to sit straight up and down? If you shift, it's like hurts really bad. So I'm sitting on the edge of the chair and I've got to go preach. I can't even hardly breathe if I lose my balance. I get up, it's my time to preach. I go up the stairs, I go to the podium, I put my hands on the podium like this, and I start my message. I don't know when it happened, but as I was preaching and declaring what the Bible says and the anointing fell on me from reading the Bible and teaching everybody else, something happened. When I walked off that thing, I was completely healed with no sign of it whatsoever. When did I get healed? 2,000 years ago on the cross. Not when I was preaching. That's when the devil left me alone. But I got healed 2,000 years ago. And he put that on me to get me to believe what was happening to my body was real and true because I was calling it real and true. But the truth was I was healed on the cross and he was kicked out of heaven. And I was given all power and authority over him from projecting his lies on me. But I have to do what is necessary to get the victory. Can you hear what I'm saying? It's in your lap. Are you willing to war against the devil, against your adversary? The Bible says to be diligent, to be vigilant against him. Vigilant. Not one breath is not towards your healing and towards your freedom. Not one breath. Everything is about getting this off, this lie off of me, because the doctors will say it's true. The mirror will say it's true. My feelings will say it's true. My body will say it's true. I don't care. God says it's not true. Now you got to decide what you're going to believe. Is it God and the Bible? Is what we read true or not true for you? If you've been given the authority, guess what that excludes you from being able to do? God, do it for me. You're not allowed to do the God, do it for me. You've been given the authority. You do it. You have the Spirit of God. You do it. You've been given the power over the devil and over all of his power. You have authority over all of his power. You have the authority. Now, are you willing to exercise it and to be that authority? Some of you are not used to that. Some of you are not used to being bold. But I promise you, someplace in your life, somewhere in your world, you have exercised your authority and made someone or something comply to your wishes. Somewhere you have. All you need to do is duplicate that in this scenario and do the same thing. Because here's the thing. If the results are squarely in your lap by the gift of God to you, then who can change your situation if not you? Aren't you glad you came today? This may not be a shouting and a jumping message, but listen, if you've had issues for a long time and they have not gone away, you're going to have to do something different. Turn off the fan instead of continuing to try to stack cards with that influence still coming against you. You have authority over this. Now figure it out. Do you need to fast and pray? Do you need to pray in the Holy Ghost? Do you need to rejoice and shout and sing and worship? Do you need to be forgiven of something? Do you need to just plain stand in authority and come against it like an enemy that's attacking you? Figure it out. Which one? Maybe a combination of them. Do what works. But if you're waiting for God to do it, or you're waiting for another person to do it, or the way you've been trying to attack it isn't working, try this. Now, by faith, when something is brand new and you have to do it by faith, I've exercised with some people and prayed for them, and I was just doing it blank-minded by faith. I had no thought in my head about what I wanted for a result. I had no special word from God. I had nothing except one thing. I knew God gave me authority. And I pray for them, and they get healed. Other people I pray for, and they don't get healed. I don't know. I'm not going to say it's this or that. I'm saying I've seen mixed results. But I have seen results. You will also. You may not get it the first time, but you will get it. Pastor Trey, you got a word? Grab the handheld.
I also wanted to encourage along the lines that while this is healing school, and we're talking about physical sickness, disease, and things like that, which is how this works, I wanted to encourage people out there today. It works this way with anything that comes from the pit of hell. And that includes sin, temptation, and anything else that might be we're being tempted with and faced with. It's going to come with, we make a decision to be militant and say, I am tired of continuing to going around the same mountain. I am sick and tired of continuing to fall prey to this. You know, the Bible teaches us that when sin came in the beginning, that the Lord said to Cain, he said, sin lies at the door and its desire is to have you.
So, listen, if you need to go out into a field and scream at the top of your lungs to practice being bold or get in your car and do it, then do it. If you need to put your head under your pillow and just start hollering, then holler. Some of you are not used to exerting the force that sometimes it takes. And I'm only saying you need to do that if it hasn't gone yet, all right? It's going to take something stronger than what you've been doing. But listen, the Bible says you were healed 2,000 years ago. So when were you healed? Before your great granddaddy was on the earth. So that means your entire life, anything that's happened to you, the devil has taken advantage of you and tried to convince you that it has a right to be there. Well, this happens to other people in my group or gender or age. Oh, well, God's supposed to be the one that does it. Well, it didn't go when I prayed. You guys got to stop all of that. You know what? Remember those little boards? Some of you are as old as I am. Some of you aren't, but just bear with me. There used to be a little toy that we would get in Cracker Jacks and we can get when we were kids. They were larger. It was this black kind of, it looks like the backside of an asphalt shingle. It's kind of like this black tarry little board, and it had this piece of plastic over the top of it that was slightly hazy, and it gave you a little poker that looked like a pencil, but it was just a plastic little stick thing. And you can write on this thing and draw designs in everything, okay? It was really cool. But when you lifted the plastic up off of it, it erased the whole thing. And then you can start over again because it went through into the rubbery underneath. That's what's happening to you. The devil's been writing on this thing all these reasons why this stuff doesn't go, why it's happening to you. He uses doctors and medical journals and YouTube and your feelings and other people and your body and what you see in the mirror, your own mind and thoughts. He uses all these things to create this mess in your life. What you need to do is separate yourself from that. And when you do, you'll be clean slate, because that's who you really are. It wasn't the real you. Okay? Separate yourself from that so that it's a clean slate again. You are perfect and complete, lacking nothing according to the Bible. So that means we have to rise up in our minds, rise up in our attitude, rise up in our perspective above the circumstances, and then use authority down onto those circumstances. Amen? Amen.